Fall means football, and the Tigers roar loudest here.
Klubnik takes a shotgun snap, back to throw, going to throw it deep, down long, there's Wesco, catches it at the 40, off the races he goes, touchdown! Wesco from 76!
This is Cade Klubnik, and you are listening to 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, where every day is game day.
Hour number two of the program here on a Wednesday with Faxon and John on The Roar. Real quick before we hop into another interview, I want to tell you about the folks at Fort Hill Natural Gas. Weather's getting chillier, folks. Before we know it, we'll be in the midst of cold weather season. Enjoy those cozy nights and make the most of the winter season with the efficient and reliable choice of natural gas. At Fort Hill Natural Gas, they've got you covered, whether it's keeping your home warm, heating your water, or firing up the grill. Natural gas is clean, cost-effective, and always there when you need it. During the cold weather months, let Fort Hill Natural Gas keep your family comfortable and your energy bills low by visiting FHNGA.com today. And John, I've been waiting for this segment since literally the first drive of the game on Saturday.
Before or after the lightning delay?
Before the lightning
delay. Before the lightning delay. Okay. Our next guest, I don't know if he's either been anxiously awaiting or dreading this segment, but former Clemson offensive lineman Landon Walker joins the program here now. Landon, first and foremost, I texted you this on Saturday during the game, and so I'll just go ahead and ask you here. In the first half, what was that? And was that?
Yeah.
I said on the show, you and I both came to Clemson in the same fall of 2007, and I said on the show Monday, and have said this week, that the first half on Saturday is the worst half of Clemson football that I have seen since that point in time in 2007. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you know, I'll answer that question in a two-part segment, I guess. So, John, you know, going back to what you asked me on last week's show in relation to the Troy game that I played in, you know, being down in half to a team that obviously you feel like it never should happen, right? And we kind of laughed and joked about it. And after the first half, I was like, this is not happening right now, right? So along with every Clemson fan sitting in their seats in the stands and then watching on TV. So obviously not a good first half, but, you know, I think that there's a lot to learn from that game. You know, I could go on a tangent and talk about it all day, but I really feel like the way this team answered in the second half says a lot about who this team really is and where they're going to go. You know, I feel like that the Troy team really came in with it trying to make a statement, like any other team's going to try to come into Death Valley and try to beat a team that they feel like they're not getting a lot of love to play against. You know, they're getting paid $1.5 million, I believe, to come there, and they want to walk away with a win just as good as anybody else, right? So you're going to get everyone's best shot. We've talked about this before on the show. You have the biggest target on your back. You're you know, a top 12 ranked team now. Obviously, a little bit down from the last week, but, you know, everybody's going to get your best game every week. So I feel like that's something that we're going to learn from as a team and get better. And I think they did that in the second half.
Speaking of the second half, Coach Sweeney talked about how they went from more of a zone blocking scheme to a gap blocking scheme. What can you try to explain, football 101 terminology to us, kind of what does that mean? And, you know, why do you think that made such a difference for the Tigers in the second half?
Sure, yeah. When you talk about a zone offense, you know, traditionally that's pretty much what you're going to schematically do in college football, and it's what I come from. So, you know, you're talking about, you know, your double team blocks working to the next level from the offensive line standpoint. So you're taking maybe you got a three technique, and that guard is working. You know, the tackle's going to give you a little something to get to that next level to maybe work on getting to your linebacker. But when you have to go to a gap scheme, you know, the guy, it's pretty as much as simple as that. The guy in your gap is who you're going to block. So it does simplify the offensive line blocking scheme a little bit, makes it a little bit easier to get to the person that you need to get to in order to create a hole for the running back. So zone blocking, you're going to create a little bit more backside opportunity for the running back. And, you know, I think when you have not a young running back, but a new running back is what they have, it makes it a little simpler for him as well. He's seeing that The blocks happen a little easier. He's seeing where these guys are going a little easier. So it just makes everything a little more simplified, especially when the defense is doing a lot of twist schemes, which they did on Saturday. So, you know, there was quite a bit of that going on up front, making it tough for those guys to be able to get to the next level. When you have twist happening on the line all the time, especially when defensive lines are jumping gaps and switching gaps, it makes it a little more complicated for the running backs and everybody to fill those holes. So, long story short, it obviously simplifies the schematics for everyone.
And so I think when you're simplifying the schematics, correct me if I'm wrong here, but that makes it a lot easier to just put your hand in the dirt and be a little ticked off and go hit somebody, right?
Exactly, yeah. You take the thinking out of it more so, right? You're not necessarily worried about, pointing to your guy. It's pretty obvious who you're going to be blocking. And they made it tough for this team to block up front. And, you know, I know there's been a lot of backlash about, is this offensive line have what it take and takes and all this stuff. But I do think that this team is really on that onset, which we've seen in previous years, even in national championship years, of teams being a slow starting offense and finally getting to where they're clicking on all cylinders. It's very difficult for an offense sometimes to just come out of the gates firing on all cylinders. And, you know, we've heard from these guys talking about how great their camp was and how good they're practicing. And I think they're doing the best they can to try to transition that into a game. And obviously these Clemson fans are anxious, and we're anxious to see how good this offense can be. And I think there's a lot of meat, said this last week, a lot of meat left on the bone. I do feel that way. And I feel like this team is just really not even close to showing everybody what they're made of. There's so much talent in that receiving core room. And there's so much talent in the backfield that I just feel like that we're all just waiting for the horses to come out of the gates, right? I think that's where we're at with it. So it's definitely going to happen. You know, they're playing a very good football team coming up this weekend. As we know, Georgia Tech is no slouch, and they're never a slouch. No matter if they're running the triple option or the pro-style offense, it doesn't really matter. So it'll be interesting to see how this offense progresses throughout the season.
Continuing to visit with former Clemson offensive lineman Landon Walker. Landon, I want to ask you kind of a unique question, but it's one that we get, I would say, the assumption of frequently on our text line and our phone line. In your experience as a player, is there validity to the claim that many fans make about the offense or the defense going quote-unquote vanilla against a team like Troy with a big game like Georgia Tech coming up the next week? Or is it really the same type of preparation week in, week out, regardless of who the opponent is?
No, you know, I feel like there's probably some truth in that. When it comes to a preparation standpoint offensively, you know, your coordinator's probably not going to show all of his cards against a team like Troy, especially when you go into that game knowing that you just have the athleticism to be able to overpower that, and that showed out in the second half. But you know, that's obviously something that can change within a game plan during the game. What you start with the game, you know, may be something different than what you end up with, just because of the way they come out and their formations and what the defense does. So I do think that there is some truth to the fact that, you know, offensively you may hold back a little bit. You're not showing all your cards when you play at Georgia Tech and throughout the season and go through conference play. So, you know, it's very tough from an offensive coordinator standpoint, I imagine, to be able to game plan for a team and not show everything you got when you know you have all this talent that you can work with. And obviously having a few key players out, Troy, probably made it a little easier for him to game plan and not show everything as well. You know, having one of the best receivers we have not playing in that game. So, you know, there's obviously a lot of attention on the offense right now, and they're gaining a lot of attention through. So they haven't clicked on all cylinders, and that's not a mystery to anyone. But obviously, we know that this team has that ability. We've seen that, you know, first snap of the second half. You know, I think that there's a lot of opportunity there, and I think there's a lot of, like I said, I keep saying there's a lot of meat left on that bone for the offense. This offensive performance, and what we're going to see, I believe.
Landon, I want to ask you about blitz rate against Clemson's offense. LSU blitzed on almost 67% of snaps. Troy was just a hair under 50%. And it feels like there's a lot of man press coverage on the outside one-on-one against these Clemson wide receivers who we know can go. What are your thoughts on the way that other defenses are attacking Clemson's offense early in the season? And do you expect Georgia Tech to kind of continue with the heavy blitz trend against Cade Klubnik in this O-line?
Yes, I do. I think that any time you can get pressure on the quarterback and be successful at doing that, you're going to make his job a lot harder. You're going to make, they understand how much talent we have. Ultimately, any defensive coordinator is going to look and see, you know, the opportunity for him to blitz is going to be high, just because you know, you put the quarterback in a bad position more times than not, he's going to make throws that he's not comfortable making. And so, especially when he's got the ability with the guys he has to win one-on-one matchups. So it's definitely, you know, especially with the success rate that some of the blitzes has had, especially with LSU blitzing the offensive line and making it more difficult for them, I think they're going to see more of it. That's unfortunate. You know, as an offensive lineman, I've been there. You know, when you aren't necessarily you don't have a great game against picking up the blitz packages, you're going to have a lot more difficulty as the season progresses. And you're going to get better at it. Don't get me wrong. You're going to get better at it. And these guys are going to get better. It's something that they know is going to be coming at them, especially if they've had a weakness here or there that's been shown. So I expect that Georgia Tech is going to continue with that and try to make their jobs a little more difficult up front. But I do think that, you know, they've seen the best talent in the country right now, you know, especially with LSU, right? You're talking about a team that's going to be there at the end of the season. So that's going to attribute to them getting better. And I think that what fans have to realize is, yeah, the first couple of games have not been, you know, the show that they expected to see. But I think that, like I said, it's coming. It's coming. It's just a matter of time before this offense really gets warmed up and decides to just do what they're capable of doing.
Landon, we haven't since – we've started doing the same with you on the show. Clemson and Georgia Tech has not been on the schedule, so I haven't had the opportunity to ask you here, at least publicly, what is that environment like down there at Bobby Dodd? We don't have to go over the records necessarily of what your record was in that stadium, but you know, I that was at the heyday of them in the Coastal Division there. But what is that environment like? Because they are doing a whiteout. Like, they are making this one of their biggest home attractions of the season. What is this Clemson front and this Clemson team going to be walking into?
It's a tough place to play. There's no question. You know, you're talking about a stadium that feels right there downtown Atlanta, easy to get into for the fans, and it's a difficult place to play. You know, as small numbers as it is in there, it's not your biggest stadium you're going to play at. And SEC plays like in Auburn, but you know, it's the stadium is right on top of you. So these guys are definitely going to be going on the road for the first time, facing a tough environment, which is going to be great for them. You know, there's something about being a bad guy on the road that's just fun. You know, I think, you know, when you're the guy who's getting the boos and you're getting the attention of what this team is going to get this weekend, there's just nothing like it in college football. And I think that's what makes this rivalry here a very fascinating one over the years. You know, Georgia Tech has always been a team that's been a player in the ACC, you know, not necessarily conference champion in the last 10 years or anything like that, but man, they make it difficult. They really do, whether they're playing at Clemson or you're playing there. Obviously, when I played them, they were running the triple option, and it was a lot of things going on, especially from our defensive standpoint, trying to learn the way they play the game. And we had to learn that offense 2 weeks before. Now you're going into that game, obviously same preparation, but at the same time, knowing that you're going to see a defense that you're going to see a lot throughout the course of this year. So it's a tough place to play, man. I look forward to seeing these guys and how well they're going to do on the road. You know, it's going to be a tough environment. Hopefully they can settle in early.
And Landon, final question as we start to kind of wrap things up with you. I want to ask you about the physicality from GT and kind of their identity. Right now, Clemson's been sputtering a little bit offensively to find that identity, but GT is very comfortable with being who they are, run-centric, physical. They're going to use Haynes King as the quarterback as kind of the battering ram to catalyze a lot of that offense. What is it like facing against a team like GT? Because even though it's not the Paul Johnson triple option, they still do have an established identity that they're very comfortable with that.
They do, absolutely, and that's a great point. You know, Georgia Tech is, if you ask anybody that knows a little bit about college football, they're going to tell you Georgia Tech's a physical football team. You know, that same identity as that Boston College may have. You know, you know you're going into that and it's going to be a dogfight. You know, you're not going to be able to walk away unscathed. You're going to go in there and it's going to be in your face all night, whether they're up 14 or you're up 14 or down by 7, it doesn't matter what the situation is. That team is expected to show up and be physical. So their identity has been that since I can remember, you know, for a long time. So I feel like as an offense, you have to show up with that mentality, you know, already kind of in the back of your head, knowing this is going to be a grudge match up front. So these guys are going to give us the best game they can possibly play this year. We're going to see everything they've got. And how do we match that? How do we match that mentality? What is our identity going to be going forward? Are we going to face, you know, that mentality with the same physicalness as they're going to give us? And if they do, I think Clemson's going to come out successful here. But again, this is a tough team. You know, there's no question about it. It doesn't matter what type of team, what type of year you play a Georgia Tech team. They're always very well coached, and they show up with the physical attitude.
Landon, final question for you. Like I said, we haven't had a chance to discuss this game since we've brought you onto the show because it hasn't been on the schedule. But so I want to give you an opportunity here to defend your guy, and I want to give your official stance because I know at the time you probably weren't given a microphone. Was it or not a fair call on Thomas Austin for holding in the fourth quarter down there in Atlanta? Did he or did he not commit that hold?
You know, it's tough to know because here's the thing. When holding is such a very gray area call anymore, man, that was a very tough call that we had that brought us back and had to obviously, you know, I think it was a touchdown that it brought back, if my memory serves me correct.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, so I'm going to stick with Thomas on this and say I don't think it was a hold because Thomas had very good inside hands.
Great technique.
Great technique, and he was a good player. So I mean, you know, look, the best of us hold, right? It's just the offensive line secret to that method is don't get caught. If you're an offensive line and you haven't been holding, and you've ever been caught holding, you probably haven't had a great career. I'm just saying, you have to, at one point, you're going to do something that's a little outside the boundaries in the gray area of holding that's going to get you in a situation. And I'm a full believer in doing it. Just don't get caught doing it. Don't be outside the shoulder pads. Don't be tackling the guy as your quarterback's in the pocket about to make a throw. Make it a little less inconspicuous. So, you know, more inconspicuous. So anyway, I feel like that this team has to be aggressive. Like back to the offensive line. I feel like going into Georgia Tech, you've got to be able to make some room for that running back. We talk about this every single week. It's important to get the running game going early to free this. We talk about the blitzes, to free those guys up in order for the offensive line to take a little pressure off them on the third down situation so the quarterback can make some plays. So ultimately, if we're able to run the ball, I think it's going to be a very successful weekend for the Clemson Tigers up front.
Landon Walker, former Clemson offensive lineman and now member of the William Byron Race team. I'll leave you with this, Landon. We just got a text in that says, hearing race cars in the background of Landon's phone call, hell yeah.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Well, anytime you're at practice and you got to get to do the radio show, it's awesome. So enjoy you guys having me on every Wednesday, man. It's the highlight of my week, and enjoy it. So I love talking Clemson football. So can't wait to talk about this team as they progress after the Georgia Tech game. It's going to be fun, guys. I look forward to seeing them play Saturday.
Yeah, appreciate you, Landon, as always, and we'll catch up next week, hopefully after a really good offensive line showing. That's Landon Walker, former Clemson offensive lineman. We're going to take a quick break here on the program with Faxon and John on the Roar with more college football and NFL discourse on the other side.
A scholarship doesn't just pay for school.
When I first started out, I'd be around the baseball field all day, just watching the guys' feet, like how they're moving, how they're breaking out of the clay. Turfgrass Management is not just cutting grass. There's so much more to it.
It turns passion into purpose.
The South Carolina Education Lottery definitely allowed me to find myself again, to get an education, eventually starting my organization. I got legs.
Adam and Greg are two of over 750,000 Life Scholars giving back for a better South Carolina. Visit seeducationlottery.com/betteryou.
When you're on the water, peace of mind is priceless. Towboat US on Lakes Hartwell and Kiwi offer memberships starting at just $109 a year for freshwater services like towing, jump starts, fuel delivery, soft ungrounding, boat recovery, and more. Visit HartwellLakeServices.com.
It's football season, but don't forget the real MVPs in your life. Score big with a stunning gift from Turner's Jewelers. From custom diamond studs to an eye-catching necklace, we'll help you make the right play with our jewelry. And when it's time to say, I do, let our experts help design your own championship-worthy ring. Family-owned and trusted for generations, Turner's brings all-star service and southern charm. Visit us in Seneca's Applewood Shopping Center or at turnersjewelers.com. Turner's Jewelers, a winning experience from start to finish.
Straight Up Sports is simply all sports all the time. Straight Up Sports is a collection of retired and award-winning sports writers and sports broadcasters from around South Carolina.
Like Bob Gillespie from the State Newspaper,
Scott Kiefer from the Greenville News,
and Mark Sturges from ESPN Upstate.
Straight Up Sports is about the stories,
just like the days gone by with no editors nor managers involved.
Check us out on Facebook or Twitter or online at straightupsports.net.
Hey, 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 it's the Queen of Clean here at Royal Flush Toilet Rentals. Give us a call at 864-238-8800. We've got your portable toilet rentals, hand wash stations, luxury restroom toilet trailers, septic tank services, and holding tanks. So whenever you need to speak with the Queen of Clean, call Royal Flush at 864-238-8800.
Your food is best when you know where it comes from. AMPM Farms offers beef raised here in the upstate, along with 70 vendors featuring raw milk, farm and dairy products, and more. Weekly wild game and burger flights, AMPM Farms is providing your family the very best. Plan your next meal, cookout, or tailgate with AMPM Farms. 1907 Lawrence Road in Greenville and Travelers Rest, 164 South Main and Fountain Inn, 3085 Allen Bridge Road. Online, ampmfarmsbutcheryandmarket.com.
When it's time to replace your roof, there are so many things to consider, from the type of roof you have to the many types and styles of shingles. Gilstrap Roofing understands how each part of a roofing system works together to give you a beautiful and watertight barrier. Don't trust the one thing that really protects your home to just anyone. Gilstrap Roofing has been covering the upstate for four generations. Proven, experienced roofers for your home or business. Gilstrap Roofing, 269-1232.
Hey Tiger fans, I'm Morgan Coleman, proud Clemson soccer alum and upstate native. I may have hung up my cleats, but now spend my time assisting buyers and sellers in the Greenville, South Carolina area. My goal is to provide my clients peace of mind during one of the most important decisions of their life. It's important to have early conversations with a trusted realtor to help navigate the current market. If you are considering buying or selling, let's chat. Call me at 864-313-7639 or search Morgan Coleman Real Estate online to get started.
Welcome to the Ingles Table, a delicious destination with recipes galore. Need to whip up a dessert, entree, side dish? No problem. The experts from the Ingles Table take you through it step by step with expert tips and advice along the way. Find the Ingles Table at ingles-markets.com or swing by the store and pick up your free copy of the Ingles Table magazine. And let's get cooking. Ingles, low prices, love the savings.
What's up, everybody? Sam Jones here. Join us this Friday night for the Tri-County Technical College High School Football Game of the Week, presented by Ingles. This Friday night takes us to Pendleton High School, where the Bulldogs face off with the Powdersville Patriots in what's become a fun, heated rivalry over the past few years. Join us every Friday night this fall, live here on The Roar, where every day is game day.
If you're 55 or older and into that whole saving money thing, T-Mobile has an exclusive phone and internet bundle just for you. Right now, get two unlimited phone lines plus 5G home internet for just $30 each per month with autopay, plus taxes and fees. And with 5G home internet, setup is easy with just one cord and no technician needed, which is great if you're also into that whole keeping it simple thing. Switch now and experience the best mobile network in the U.S. Visit your local store to start saving. T-Mobile, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data, Q4 2024 to Q1 2025, Ookla trademarks used under license. Unlimited on our network. Customers on voice plan may notice speeds lower than other customers and further reduction if using more than 50 gigs a month due to data prioritization. Video streams and SD on this plan. Home internet pricing after $20 a monthly bill credit plus $5 per line without autopay. Debit or bank account required. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Hi friends, I don't know about you, but I'm all about solutions, especially when it comes to life's biggest problems, like the health crisis that America is facing right now. That's why I'm so excited about my great experience with PhD Weight Loss. Their patients drop up to a third of their body weight without ever taking those weight loss drugs. In fact, just the opposite. PhD clients learn how to turn their bodies into fat-burning machines using real food, behavioral coaching, and a proven science. These are habits that last a lifetime. I'm talking forever. I hope you'll get in touch with my great friends at PhD Weight Loss here in the Greenville office. Tell them that Mike V from The Roar sent you and that you want to learn how PhD Weight Loss helps you wake up your own metabolism so that your body produces its own weight loss hormones. If you're already on a weight loss drug and want to transition off, Dr. Ashley Lucas and her great team can help. Give them a call at 864-644-1900. That's 864-644-1900. Or go to myphdweightloss.com.
Broadcasting live from the Upcountry Fiber Studios, this is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Your home for the Upstate's best sports talk radio 24 hours a day.
You guys are the best station in town.
You got the best radio station going.
You guys are the best, man.
We are The Roar, part of the ESPN family.
About half an hour remaining in the program here on a Wednesday with Fax and Childress and John Height on 105.5, 97.5 The Roar. If you're looking to take your lawn to the next level in 2025, go with the folks at Carolina Top Dressing. They serve the upstate. They bring golf course type practices to your home, including aeration, top dressing, deep thatching, soil conditioning, and more. You can ask them about their latest top dressing amendment in Carolina Mix or sign up for any of their turf services by visiting them online at www.carolinatopdressing.com for your free quote. And as always, the folks at Carolina Top Dressing say, go Tigers. We just visited with Landon Walker. We were talking some college football. John, I was running through kind of the game log of a game we haven't discussed yet, because we've got a football game tomorrow on the calendar tomorrow night up in Winston-Salem. I wouldn't say a good one, but it definitely is a football game. And speaking of football games, 35-31, NC State takes the cake over Virginia. I wasn't able to catch a ton of this one in real time, but looking back at this in an ACC clash that doesn't count against your league standings, Virginia really blew this one. They had every chance to win this game down the stretch and just could not convert.
Absolutely. They were driving down the field, and Chandler Morris threw the game-winning interception for the NC State Wolfpack. C.J. Bailey was great in this game. I thought both quarterbacks were very good, but Jamari Taylor, to me, was the story of this game. Three touchdowns, 150 yards, 17 carries. I mean, he was fantastic, had the big 60-yard rush there in the second half. You know, UVA loses this game in heartbreaking fashion. If anything, this game, the way that UVA was able to play offensively, it was a little bit of confirmation bias on how I felt about this team in the preseason. But on the other takeaway, NC State has more than I thought they were going to have this year.
Yeah.
Give credit where credit is due. I thought this was going to be a down and out year for the Wolfpack, and you know, maybe it could still turn out to be. But they've impressed me over the first 2 weeks. You know, obviously I was with an emotional pick in week one, thought East Carolina was going to win that game outright, almost did, but you know, credit to NC State. They won the game, and you know, they showed a lot of resilience in the fourth quarter by competing in this game where Virginia was really clicking in the second half. I mean, you know, NC State came out 21 points out of half. I thought it was a great football game that doesn't count towards league standings.
Yeah, Jamari Taylor, the Virginia running back, as Sean alluded to, goes for 17 carries, 150 yards, and three touchdowns, 8.8 yards per clip on that one. And I think that's going to be the big key for Wake Forest entering the game tomorrow. Wake Forest arguably has the best running back in this entire league in Claiborne. Now, Claiborne was dealing with a rib injury, exited on the first drive of that Kennesaw State game, which is part of the reason their offense struggled so mightily in that one. He came back last game, appears he's making some headway with that injury status to his ribs, and he's anticipated to play this week once again. But last week goes for 10 carries, 193 yards, and three touchdowns. So it's easy to see how much different this offense is with Claiborne in the fray for Wake Forest. And that leads us to tomorrow's matchup. 6-5-4 Roar, if you want to get in on this. John, obviously we'll dive a little bit deeper into the weeds tomorrow, but ever since the preseason, I've said I like Wake in this spot. Dave Doran's going to be complaining about having to play on Thursday. I'm sure there's going to be, you know, 2 degrees north of what his liking would be for ideal climate in Winston-Salem, because that guy just has to complain about everything. But in all seriousness, I actually think Wake's got a chance to pull an upset here. And NC State has looked more impressive than I'd anticipated in the early going. But
this is going to be about Wake's defense for me. This was my primary reason for liking this team in the preseason. I think their defense is going to be underrated. I think they have a chance to make Bailey struggle to a certain degree. And this comes down to, can NC State establish an early running game with Hollywood Smothers like they were able to against Virginia? They've got a good chance to win it if they can run the ball consistently. If not, it could be on upset alert here with the Demon Deeks as a 7.5-point underdog.
I think we view this game differently. To no one's surprise, right? You are much higher on Wake Forest than I am. I agree that Claiborne's the best back in this game, but I think NC State, just from a personnel standpoint, is just better. Now, Dave Doran does tend to struggle sometimes in this rivalry. Lost last year, 34-30 in Raleigh. So, you know, this isn't a very one-sided rivalry, at least in terms of Dave Doran's tenure here. But I just think the Wolfpack have answered the call better at the start of this season. I like C.J. Bailey. I think he is a difference maker in this game. I think he is the much better quarterback than whatever of the two trot out there for Wake Forest. And I just think that they have too many answers, too many pieces offensively that can give the Demon Deacons fits. I like NC State in this spot tomorrow night. On the road, I don't love the spread. You know, from a covering standpoint, what's the number right now? NC State's a 7.5-point favorite.
Yeah,
I don't love that. I don't think this is a game that Dave Doran and the Wolfpack really pull away here. But I do like State in this spot.
Yeah, which I think is understandable. And I think there's also probably a fair argument to be had that Bailey's the best player on the field in general.
I think he may be the best player on the field. Certainly the most impactful. And, you know, I haven't been shy about things that I have been wrong about in the preseason. And so far, it looks like I may have been wrong about the NC State Wolfpack.
I'm hoping that Wake Forest can pull through for me here, because they're obviously off to a decent start with two wins in the win column already, but their life isn't going to get any easier, because after this, they're against Georgia Tech. They got to go at VT. They got to go at Oregon State. For what it's worth, Oregon State appears putrid this year.
So does Virginia Tech.
And so does Virginia Tech. That's fair.
I mean, to be fair, the last half we saw was 34-0.
Where I'm worried for Wake Forest is that three-game stretch after they take the trip out to Corvallis, where they've got SMU at FSU at UVA. I'm not sure I see any wins in those three games, but you know, I'm hoping that NC State's winnable. I think VT and Oregon State are winnable. I think North Carolina is very winnable, and I think Delaware is a win. So there's opportunity on the horizon for this Wake Forest team to overachieve this year. You got to go out there and earn it, and it's going to be interesting to see how they try and attack this NC State defense offensively, because while we do know Robbie Ashford is pretty limited as a passer, or at least that's the narrative that's kind of been cast on him so far, he did have a decent game last week. And he also provides a pretty big threat on the ground with his legs. I will say that. I don't think Ashford's a very good thrower of the football in general. I think he'd be a crazy Looney Tunes person to make that claim, but that could be something that's difficult to game plan for, especially early in the season for NC State. That's where my eyes are going to be in this one, is how effective is Wake Forest's rushing attack going to be, not just with Claiborne, but also using Ashford and some of that zone read stuff. So NC State's got to stay disciplined on defense. They've got a good chance to win the football game if they can stay disciplined, but I would expect a ton of RPO and a ton of zone read from head coach Jake Dickert here and trying to use Ashford's legs to their advantage against NC State.
If there is going to be an over-under set on total RPOs called in this game between the two teams, hammer the over.
50, yeah.
At least. That's all this game is going to be, is just NC State RPOing their way down the field, and then here comes Wake Forest to RPO their way up and down the field. There's going to be a whole lot of that tomorrow night.
Jed gets in and says Wolfpack's wins sets up a big game next week at Duke. Doran's never beaten Manny Diaz, the head coach. And Jed also says State-Wake is an underrated rivalry, and Dave Doran always complaining about playing on Thursdays. Yeah, of course. Doran's always got a complaint. We know that much at this point in his career. All right, final break of an abbreviated program here on a Wednesday with Thaxton and John. We'll get to Delvin and more on the phone lines right after this.
Start your game day right here on the flagship station for Clemson Athletics as the Tigers travel down to Atlanta to take on the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. Your broadcast day will start at 6 a.m. sharp as we'll get you ready for game day with the Tiger pregame show. Then we'll turn it over to Fax and Childers and his crew for the Tiger tailgate show at 9 o'clock. Don, Tim, and Reggie will have the call of the action. And then Donnell Clark and I, live in studio, will have the fifth quarter show for you to wrap up all of Saturday's action. Don't miss a moment of a Clemson game day right here on The Roar.
What would you do if you had a little bit more money to do it?
I'd go to law school.
I'd open a bakery.
I'd travel to visit my grandparents I haven't seen in 10 years.
We all have things we want to do in life, and there are people who want to help you do them. So how do we best ask for that help? GoFundMe. GoFundMe is the number one fundraising platform. 200 million people have used GoFundMe to support people doing things like furthering their education, starting a small business, or bringing people together in support of a cause. No matter what your goals are, GoFundMe helps you take an important step toward them. GoFundMe is free to set up and manage, easy to use, and designed to help you reach your goals.
The community was so supportive in helping me finally open my bakery. Now every day I wake up and get to do what I love. And it all started with GoFundMe.
What would you do if you had the money to do it? Get started today with GoFundMe. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com/power. That's GoFundMe.com/power. GoFundMe.com/power. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe with actors voicing experiences inspired by our users.
Tiger fans, it's football time with fall almost here. Whether it's gearing up for game day, getting a jump on new fall styles, or taking advantage of summer closeouts up to 75% off, Elkmont is where you need to be. With great brands like On Clouds, Birkenstocks, Patagonia, Vuori, Z Supply, Back 70, Columbia, and more. Elkmont is located in Powdersville on Highway 153 and Clemson across from Bojangles, or online at ElkmontTradingCompany.com. That's ElkMont TradingCompany.com. Go Tigers!
Hey Clemson fans, college football is back, and to celebrate, Engineered Sleep is having a Labor Day mattress sale. Starting Monday, August 25th until September 14th, find some time between football games to make it out to Engineered Sleep. They have brand new products for you to see and huge in-store savings. Engineered Sleep keeps it simple and easy, just like mattress buying should be. You have to check them out on 333 North Pleasantburg Drive in Greenville, across from Krispy Kreme.
At Certified Diesel, we value keeping your diesel truck running smoothly and efficiently. Located at 2209 Highway 292 in Inman, South Carolina, we specialize in light-duty diesel truck repairs and maintenance. Whether you drive a Powerstroke, Cummins, or Duramax, our expert technicians have you covered. Avoid the hassle of dealership maintenance and choose us for all your diesel needs. Call and visit us today at 864-345-4568 or check out our services online at CertifiedDieselLLC.com.
Part A, Part B, Supplement, Advantage, Part D. It's enough to make your head spin. Don't worry, we've got you. Call today, 467-8738. I'm Guy, the insurance guy, and what we do is simple. We make health insurance easier.
I'm Eddie Bennett. For 25 years, Bennett Equipment has sold and managed construction equipment. Bennett is one of Takeuchi's top dealers in the U.S. for the last 2 years by putting our customers first. And now, Takeuchi is offering 0% financing on all equipment and attachments, along with an industry-leading 3-year, 3,000-hour warranty. As we celebrate 25 and 25, we want to thank our loyal customers for your business and trust. And as always, when you need equipment, buy it or rent it from Bennett.
Have you been charged with a criminal offense? The legal system can be overwhelming and intimidating. You could be facing significant consequences. You need someone in your corner to help you navigate it all. Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, will help you get the answers you need. Call today for your free consultation at 864-654-3680 or visit nicklaverylaw.com. You don't have to go through this alone. Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, here for you.
It's game time at Linden Floors. Huddle up and score big with unbeatable deals like luxury vinyl flooring starting at just $1.99 a square foot. That's right. Style, durability, and value, all in one winning play. We're family owned, Spartanburg strong, and ready to tackle your remodel. Swing by 101 Chester Street or call 864-494-4317 to get in the game, or visit us online at lindenfloors.com and make your home the MVP this season. Linden Floors, where design scores every time.
Why shop Reed's Jewelers and Haywood Mall? Let's start with a state-of-the-art 21st century showroom. Add to that an elegant selection of Swiss watches for him and an exquisite portfolio of diamonds for her. Need more? Award-winning sales professionals providing world-class customer service. All backed by a family-owned company in business for nearly 80 years. Just a few great reasons to shop Reed's Jewelers. Haywood Mall, next to Belk, online at Reeds.com.
Tired of all the fake news in the sports world?
He read an article.
I read it too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Don't believe everything you hear on the radio.
That's where we come in. to give you the truth in sports. We are The Roar, where every day is game day.
Kick it!
Final segment of an abbreviated program here on a Wednesday with Fax and Childress and John Height on 105.5 at 97.5. The Roar, 654 Roar is the number if you'd like to hop in. We're going to go around the horn in the final segment as we always do, but we're going to take a phone call first from Delvin. Delvin, good to hear from you. How we doing?
I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
Doing well.
A couple things. First of all, you're talking about Wake Forest and NC State game. Well, give me NC State. Robbie Ash was starting the quarterback of Wake Forest, so that's all I need to know. So just give me NC State.
I feel like a lot of people are fading Robbie Ashford, but like that's not a guy that's easy to game plan for with the QB run game. I get that his arm's limited. Dare I say that through two games, Robbie Ashford has not been the primary problem on offense for Wake.
You may be right, but the easiest way to defend Robbie Ashford is put eight in the box.
Yeah, that is true. So hopefully Wake's guys can win on the outside a little bit, and if not, we might be seeing some DeShaun Purdy action up in Winston-Salem.
Yeah, what do you think about on that both of you guys, there's what do you think about Clemson basketball ACC schedule yesterday, coming out yesterday? Starting with at Syracuse, and I think their first home game is SMU.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's going to be a much improved ACC this year, and I think that that's something that people are going to have to come to terms with very, very early in the campaign. I think Brad Brownell's got a great group, as he always does, and I think that Clemson's got a coach that's going to put him in position to succeed up there with the best in the country on a game-in, game-out basis. So, to be honest with you, Delvin, I hate the fact that you're starting at Syracuse, at Pitt, back-to-back. That kind of sucks for your ACC slate, and your schedule makers definitely didn't do you a ton of favors, but first home game against SMU, you ease in a little bit. You get Notre Dame, Boston College, then Miami, who's going to have a good group this year. It could definitely be a lot worse, but the ACC is going to improve vastly in quality this year in men's basketball, and I think fans need to, you know, have that expectation headed into the year.
Yeah. What do you think about them going back to the 18-game schedule? I like it.
Yeah, I like it as well. It's going to be intriguing to see how everything unfolds perception-wise. I think that the main reason for that was because the bottom of the league has been so bad the last couple years that it was hurting the perception of your league in totality to play 20 league games. So you go back to 18, and that also allows you some more leeway in the non-con, right? Like, Clemson's going to play Alabama this year in Tuscaloosa. They're going to play BYU in Madison Square Garden. They're headed down to Charleston to play West Virginia, and then the winner of that Georgia and Xavier game. You get to play Georgetown in Washington, D.C. You get to play Cincinnati in Greenville. So when you eliminate two conference games from your schedule, it gives you a little bit more lenience to be creative in the non-con, and that's something that I really like.
Yeah, well, thanks for taking my call, guys.
Yeah, of course, Delvin. Thanks for getting in with us. 654 Roar is the number. And yeah, John, any game-changing thoughts on Clemson's slate of conference games? I don't feel like it's a great start, but again, you're going to have to line up and win the games regardless.
No, you're right. You got to line up and take care of business. I think the one thing that I noticed is, yes, this is a year where you were at Duke and both at Carolina, but you had some separation between the two, which is nice.
Yeah, you got Georgia Tech to conclude things at home, which is never a good thing, to be completely honest.
Yeah, but I'm focused on a different Georgia Tech athletic team this week right now. I'm not worried about the March basketball game at this moment. No offense meant to Coach Brownell and his team.
For certain. I think Coach Brownell might be a little bit more concerned right now with this upcoming one on Saturday than, March 7th, last game of the regular season.
Coach Brownell's just probably wondering, how do he get his Bengals to 2-0 with the win over the Jaguars this weekend?
That's true. That is true. That'll be interesting to see. And John, on that note, we can shift gears to some NFL. We've got some good games on the slate this upcoming weekend, starting tomorrow, which it's not really the weekend, but Thursday night football is always fun. Commanders-Packers, is this going to take you away from Wake Forest NC State?
Based on the kick time, it probably will. I think Wake Forest may be down and out by 8:15 p.m., so I may have to go over there. I am looking forward to see this revamped, new-look Packers defense with Micah Parsons go up against Laremy Tunsil and some of the new pieces for the Washington Commanders, because I really like the Commanders' lines of scrimmage. I thought they held up very well against the Giants' front last Sunday. So I think this is going to be, like you and I were talking off the air, this has the potential to be a chance at an NFC title game?
Yeah, it could be.
It's not the odds-on favorite by any means, but these are two teams that you would pick right now to make the postseason. At least I would be picking these two teams to make the postseason after 1 week of football.
I like Green Bay a lot. I still got to see some more out of Washington. I know last year was great, and I know that they've got a couple new weapons this year, and they started off well. I'm interested to see how they fare against some upper echelon competition, like the Packers this week in Lambeau. Going on the road, it's going to be a little bit colder. Night game, obviously. I don't know. I like the Packers here in this spot, but the Packers look scary, man. Like, if we're talking about contender, like legitimate contenders in the NFC, I think the Packers definitely have to be a part of that equation right now with the way they started.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's one thing when I look at the NFL schedule that is shocking to see for me. We have a game between the New York Giants and the Dallas Cowboys that's being buried at the 1 o'clock window. When has that ever happened that we have a Giants-Cowboys game get buried at 1 o'clock?
It's rarefied air, that's for certain, but I think in this case it's probably deserved. Dallas, a 5.5-point favorite in Jerry World, and if there's one thing I know about Dak Prescott at the 1 p.m. slate, you're going to get fireworks. Watch out. This is where he excels, is in these spots in the regular season. I think Dallas is going to put up some big-time numbers this year and this upcoming week against the Giants. So it'll be fun to kind of monitor this one. I don't know if this will have my like primary viewing interest in the 1 o'clock window, but I'll definitely keep tabs on it being division rivals.
I think I may have. This has the potential to be one of, if not the grossest game of the entire NFL season here at 1 o'clock on Sunday.
Oh, Pats Dolphins.
Yep. Drake May stinks and the Dolphins are awful.
Yeah.
This is going to be, I mean, how are the Dolphins a favorite?
I was going to say Miami's favorite
after
taking it last week.
How in the world are the Dolphins a favorite after scoring a whopping 8 points in the fourth quarter?
That's unbelievable to me.
That makes no sense. I mean, I'm not an NFL gambling person by any means. But if I was, New England plus 1.5 seems very tempting right there.
Yeah, in my
that line just that doesn't make any. How can you pick the Dolphins be favored over anybody? I'd even take the Saints on a neutral site.
Miami was just so dysfunctional last week. Like, I don't know how anybody could have any level of confidence. And, you know, like, the defensive coordinator for Indy took Tua's lunch money. They just dropped 8 the whole game. And they're like, you're not going to get your first read. Here you go. We know you're not going to scramble. We know you don't. We don't have to spy you, and you're going to have to make reads and fit it into tight windows throughout the entirety of the game. Like, Tua threw a pick to a defensive end, dude. A defensive end in an NFL game in 2025. That team's terrible. Tua's not very good. Drake May's not very good either. That's your cover your eyes NFL game of the week with Miami and New England, because that's not going to be a good football game.
Oh, it's going to be absolutely atrocious. What stands out to you in the 1 o'clock slate?
A game I'm really interested to watch is Bills-Jets. I want to see if the Justin Fields thing was legitimate last week or if it was just more of a flash in the pan, because I think I'm trending towards believing that it was legitimate. And I also think that with all the emotions and the playoff rematch and the Josh Allen versus Lamar narrative, I feel like, obviously, Buffalo is a team that has won enough games over the years where they're able to flush it and go week to week. But you get the Jets, who played a good football game, and they're walking away from that probably feeling like they should slash could have won that football game. This is a desperation spot for New York. They don't want to go to 0-2, especially when they don't feel like they played poorly in week one. I would put the Bills on upset alert this week against the New York Jets. I tend to think Justin Fields is going to have some success this year within that offense for New York, provided everybody stays healthy. I think last week, what mainly sticks out to me, Buffalo had no answer for the running game of Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson. And while Breece Hall and Justin Fields are not those two players, they can replicate that game plan with running between the tackles, with getting dirty in the trenches, with the offensive line, and then having a quarterback that's athletic enough to make plays outside the pocket. I would take the Jets with those 6.5-7 points, and I think they've got a chance to win outright. So that's probably where my primary interest falls at the 1 p.m. slate. I think the Jets have a chance to pull an upset.
My primary viewing interest at the 1 p.m. slate, to no one's surprise, is going to be a rematch of Super Bowl 40 between the Seattle Seahawks and the Pittsburgh Steelers. However, the one difference here in this game versus that Super Bowl is Steelers quarterbacks will throw touchdown passes here in this one. It's not just going to be Antoine Randall-El dropping back and throwing it to Hines Ward and Fast Willie Parker breaking it for big runs here. Aaron Rodgers is going to continue his rubber stamping his spot in Canton as a Hall of Famer, and showing that the 42-year-old is playing like a 32-year-old, I'll give me the Steelers big at home.
Yeah, I think the Steelers are going to get the job done. And there were some reasons to be concerned for Seattle, specifically on the offensive side of the ball on Saturday. The Sam Darnold experiment, For the life of me, I don't know why they chose him over Geno when it's a similar contract. I think that was a terrible decision from management, from that organization as a whole. So I think they made a mistake, and they're going to pay for that throughout the course of the year. I would expect Steelers defense to get a stock uptick this weekend. I think they're going to eat Darnold for lunch, and I think that this is a week where you maybe see a couple turnovers and get the Steelers big. I tend to agree with your assessment, John, especially at home. Another game in the 1 p.m. slate this upcoming Sunday, that people are getting in on the text line about. Texter says Jags will beat the Bengals. I tend to agree, and I actually think that I like this Jacksonville team a lot more than I did preseason after week one. I mentioned how much I love the hire of Liam Cohen. I think this is going to pay off long term. You still have a ways to go in the passing game, and on defense, I'm not sold that you're going to be that good all year, but you're getting the Bengals in a spot where they traditionally suck, which is the first 4 to 6 weeks of every season, regardless of, you know, who they play on their schedule. I think Jacksonville has a chance to go into Packer Stadium in Cincinnati this weekend and come out victorious. What say you?
Yeah, I like the Jags here in this spot. I think the commitment to the run game under Liam Cohen was nice to see it with Travis Etienne. I want to see the passing game continue to take steps. I think it will against a very favorable Bengals defense. Yeah, give me the Jaguars on the road here. Although I look forward to the outrage on every Clemson message board if Barrett Carter hits Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, that would definitely be interesting to see. I didn't even think about that. There's a lot of Clemson crossover kind of trend. You got Miles Murphy as well. Miles Murphy's got a chance to sack his former college
teammate.
Like I said,
if Barrett Carter gets the chance to sack Trevor Lawrence.
Love that. Other 1 p.m. game slate, 1 p.m. slate games that stick out. You know, not a ton of intrigue for me in Rams-Titans. I thought Cam Ward looked good in week one. I think that team's a dumpster fire and their coaching staff's a joke. You need a new regime in Tennessee. And until Callahan's fired, you're not really going to see steps in the right direction there, in my opinion. So I would anticipate that McVay and the guys go on the road and take care of business. Something that was interesting to me as well in this 1 p.m. slate. Bears-Lions. I think the Lions are in big-time trouble this year. And I said this before the season, that I would have them as like my primary regression candidate with replacing both coordinators. I can't get the stat out of my mind that Jared Goff is 3-17-1 in his career when Sean McVay or Ben Johnson are not the play caller for him. I just can't get that out of my mind, whether it's fair to Goff or not. I think the roster is in a much better place than it's ever been right now without those play callers evident, and that definitely plays some part of it. But I just don't think that Goff's a very good quarterback. I don't think he's an elevator of talent. And I think that this might be one of those weird lose-lose situations, at least for this year, related to Ben Johnson and the Lions. I don't think the Bears are going to be able to turn it around and have a semblance of an identity year one. And I also think the Lions are going to take a pretty big step back this year with the lack of their superstar OC. I could see a scenario in which the Bears win this game this week, but this is the bigger problem for me with the Lions, okay? Let's say you get back on track, you find a way to get the job done at home. You're at the Ravens next week in primetime. You get the Browns to maybe bounce back. Then you're at Cincinnati, at Kansas City, versus Tampa Bay, versus Minnesota, at Washington, at Philly. Like, this is my problem here with the Lions. I don't think they're better than hardly any of the teams on their schedule in the first 8 weeks without those coordinators. I think there's a non-zero chance the Bears go into Detroit this week and make it happen. In a revenge game for Ben Johnson, my only hesitation would be how bad Caleb Williams looked after that scripted drive, because I think the Bears' defense is good enough to compete this year, and I think that the skill position players are there. Simply put, Caleb has to play not horrible football at the QB spot for the Bears to get where they want to get this year.
You know, I'm not against the vision of Ben Johnson being able to get one against his former employer. I can understand that line of thinking. But it would have to be the second game of the season, the one in Chicago for me. I just don't see it in the second week of the season as you're still trying to figure everything out. I think the defense has a lot of soul-searching to do after the way Minnesota surged back and came back in the fourth quarter of that game. All Bears jokes aside, I like this matchup in Chicago better for the Bears later on in the season than I do right here. I still think there's just more things that need to be worked on. I think this is going to take more time than maybe they originally thought to get this offense fully clicking, to get Caleb Williams extremely comfortable. So I like the Lions here. I think it's a close game. I would take the Bears to cover the 5.5. I think you're looking at like a 24-21 kind of football game.
If you're Chicago, you just have to find a way to run the ball more consistently than you ran it on Saturday, and your quarterback has to play better. Like, this is the thing. Ben Johnson won 15 games with Jared Goff. He just needs average QB play. Caleb Williams needs to be average. He needs to not bail from clean pockets. He needs to not take massive negative plays. I'm going to say something. Caleb Williams needs to throw more interceptions. You want to know why? He's only thrown one interception in his last 12 games. Guess the Bears' record in those 12 games.
3-9?
It's 1-11. He has 12 passing touchdowns to one interception in his last 12 games, yet his team is 1-11 because he's taken the check down Charlie's and he's not pushing the ball down the field. So you're getting behind the chains on first down. You're getting behind the chains on second down, and then you combine that with their lack of ability to run the football these last couple years, and that spells disaster. Caleb Williams, I want to see you throw more picks, brother. We need to push the ball down the field and take some more risks. Have that gunslinger mentality for Caleb.
Tomorrow on the program, we will break down the very boring 4 o'clock slate because none of those games have any importance, right?
No Super Bowl rematch or anything. But appreciate everybody tuning in to the abbreviated program today. Quack and Ben up at
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT AM 50.